And we'll talk some Giants now with our Giants insider, Andy Bagley, at Extra Bags on Twitter. Always very gracious with his time. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Doing great. I got Kevin Franzen sitting across from me, your old buddy. So we'll get you in here to talk just a little bit about, you know, what you saw last night from Matt Moore. Some positives to take away. Still some control issues. What was your overall impression of his start last night?
Well, you know, that was a good little bite that you played from him last night. He really seemed to have kind of an edge and anger about him after that start that I hadn't really heard from him in a while. And I said something to him after, you know, the cameras were off. I said, "You really seem like you're mad, madder than you have been. And you've had some bad starts where, you know, you have every right to be mad." And he said, "Well, it's a big difference whether you give up five runs in the second inning or you're pitching, you know, in a game that's super competitive and you make those mistakes at the very end." And you know, I think that's what this team needs, and maybe it's what the Dodgers have brought out in them, because they're still 6-5 against the Dodgers this year. It's kind of crazy. They've been at their best when they've been across the way from the team that's on pace to win 112 games. And that's a good thing, you know, to get these guys back in a mode of, "Hey, we're going to fight and we're going to compete again." You know, that's what you want to see, because I don't think you go anywhere as a team unless you have that spirit back and you relearn how to win. I mean, it's just learning how to win or knowing how to win, I think, is a skill unto itself. And you know, the more practice the Giants can get in these last eight games they have against the Dodgers, I think that'll mean something.
Absolutely. But Brett Bags, I just want to get your opinion on that, or if you've talked to Dave Righetti about this, but it seems like the shutdown inning has eluded him throughout the entire year. And last night, I mean, the offense battled so hard to get up 4-2, and then right away that walk. And as Matt Moore said, the piss poor, you know, pitching right there. I mean, that it's true. You know, what can he equate that to? What can Dave Righetti equate that to? I mean, are they trying too hard? Is it, you know, just lack of execution? What is it?
Well, I think there's two things. The shutdown inning is a big one. I think that, you know, I'd have to go in and really look at the numbers and see how that bears out. But just sort of anecdotally, that seems like a big deal. You're right. And the other one is two strike mistakes. I've never seen a pitching staff, you know, George Contos has had an up and down year. He's a durable guy. You can throw him out there for multiple innings. There are a lot of things to like about his skill set. But he'd be having just a much better year if he were making, you know, more put away pitches with two strikes. And, you know, last night, the double he gives up, he gets ahead 0-2 on Taylor, and, you know, misses with one close pitch and misses with a couple easier takes. And all of a sudden it's 3-2 and boom, he flips one in there and there's a double and the game's tied. So, you know, it just seems like bearing down, you know, or Josh Osich, you know, pitching to Seager. Not only does he make a mistake in the middle of the zone but, that winds up being a two-run homer, but he did it with a base open, you know. So it's just a combination of taking that momentum you get from when you get a lead to having that shutdown inning, you know, finishing a count when you're ahead, finishing an inning when you've got two outs. We just haven't seen any of that this year from this pitching staff. And, you know, regardless of how good or bad the Giants' offense is, and we know it's been pretty lean, they're not going to go anywhere if they don't get that fixed.
Yeah, you're right about that. Talking to Andy Bagley, our Giants insider, Kevin Franzen and Ryan Covey hanging out for Marty Lurie this weekend. Andy, about the pen in general, and as we kind of look ahead to next year and maybe some things that might be happening here in the next 48 hours, you know, I've heard one school of thought that's, if you come back in 2018, you got Mark Melancon at the back of that pen. Sam Dyson's been a nice story, you know, nice reclamation project so far. You know, Melancon coming back healthy. Will Smith coming back healthy, and then, you know, Hunter Strickland, who's by all accounts had a pretty solid year as well. You can kind of start to see some pieces that could, you know, you could maybe sell it that they actually have some pieces here that could be a pretty formidable bullpen, maybe a tinker here, a tinker there.
Well, I would agree with that, especially Will Smith, because, you know, Josh Osich and Stephen Okert have not stepped up and pitched with any consistency to establish themselves as guys you'd want to give the ball to. And so that's really hurt. You know, not like bringing in a lefty is going to neutralize Corey Seager. He's still Corey Seager.
But, right. Yeah, totally. I
mean, there's only so much platoon advantage a manager can get against somebody who was 22 years old and third in the MVP balloting last year. So, and is getting better.
Right. It's scary.
you know, yeah, it's one of those deals where Bruce Bochy was super, super matchup heavy last year to the point where guys were complaining. It's like, hey, if I get an out, leave me out there so I can get another out, you know. And Bochy's like, okay, fine, we're going to go the way you want this year. I'm going to leave you guys out there as long as you can be effective, and we won't be so matchup driven. And part of that is that they didn't have, you know, the Romos and Lopez's of the world that were just super matchup guys. So, you know, a little bit different personnel, and they're being used differently, but everything's gone so sideways on this team that, you know, it's going to be hard to see. Are they going to be matchup driven next year in that bullpen, or are they going to, you know, look to have, you know, sort of the Kansas City Royals formula from a couple years ago where it's Herrera and it's I'm blanking on his name, Wade Davis, and then Holland, you know, where you have a seventh guy, an eighth guy, a ninth guy. Really hard to do that. You've got to have the talent. But that would be the easiest way to fix this bullpen is you just have three guys who become monsters. And let's not forget Derek Law. I mean, he was a setup guy, and he'd be pitching in Contos' spot last night if he were doing what they thought he would be doing. And he's, you know, sort of up and down in AAA right now. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do. I also think what they really need to have, which I think is becoming big in this game, is they need to have a multi-inning swingman guy, you know, an Andrew Miller type, or hey, you know what? The NL's got its own Andrew Miller. The Diamondbacks have him, Archie Bradley. I mean, he's giving them two innings a game, and it's complete shutdown stuff. And you look at, you know, the National League team that's thrown the most innings as a rotation from their starters. You know what National League team has gotten the most innings from starting pitchers this year? It's the Giants.
Right.
And that used to be the formula for winning. You had, you know, four or five stable horses, and if you got 200 innings from each of them, that was the surest way to contend and compete. And I think that the game's changing. You know, the Dodgers are showing you that. They're showing you that, you know, we can go with five and dive guys, and then we can make sure that hitters don't see a starting pitcher a third time, which we know that there's a disadvantage to the pitcher in that situation. And I think the game is moving in that direction, and maybe the Giants need to as well.
Bags, I want to talk about a positive on one thing, and that's Brandon Crawford. I mean, I feel like his at-bats throughout the month have actually, they don't dictate what his season's been like. You know what I mean? Like, he's had great at-bats. He's hitting the ball hard. He's had a couple, you know, bad luck strings here and there. But, I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is he's just been in a rut. And last night he hits the homer, big homer against the lefty. I mean, are you seeing any differences in Brandon, and what are they?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I would agree. And thank you for bringing up a positive, because we have to remember that there are good things here and there, right?
Oh, sure. He's a stud. But he's a flat-out stud. Enjoy him.
Yeah, and that's I think I tweeted something along these lines, of, you know, maybe a week or two ago, is you can be watching an absolutely unwatchable nothing game, and then Brandon Crawford will remind you, hey, I'm still out here playing shortstop, and I can still do something special. It's that's going to take your breath away. And you know, it's been a tough season. He had the groin injury. We all know what he's gone through personally with his family and the loss they had there. So, you know, these guys are human. You don't know how much all that stuff can affect a person or wear on them. And then it's all happening in this, you know, losing environment for this team. But, you know, I see Crawford as a guy who can have a good second half and looks like he's poised to turn it around. And I think you also appreciate Buster Posey's professionalism day in and day out. The at-bats he has and what he does behind the plate. I mean, we saw what happened, you know, when they had to scratch Brandon Belt and Nick Hundley's behind the plate and there's a leadoff walk and there's a wild pitch that Nick Hundley can't corral, and then he throws the ball in the center field and the runner's on third base and he ends up scoring. You know, that was one run in what was a 6-4 game, and you realize, you know, Buster Posey's back there. That ball doesn't even get away from him. So, you know, I think you appreciate Posey, you appreciate Crawford, and you realize why those are the two guys that, you know, the Giants are pretty much not going to think about moving in any deal.
You know, and another guy that we could talk positively about is Kyle Crick and just what he's done and as a rookie, and as not only a rookie, but everyone who was questioning, who is he? You know, is he a starter? They defined him as a reliever this year, and now he's producing like that. What are you seeing from him and just the signs from Boch and Rags on his maturation?
Well, I'd like to see him in some more leveraged spots, to be honest. I think that it's time to find out if he can handle that. Maybe he could be that Archie Bradley type of guy. And he's got to throw strikes for that to happen, but so far he's doing it. And, you know, I think you give the league a little time to see him and maybe adjust to him and see how he handles that. But the main thing is he's given himself a chance because he's throwing strikes. And, you know, we all know he's got an electric fastball and maybe some stuff that can play off it. And so, yeah, that definitely between Crick and what they're getting out of basically a free Sam Dyson, those are two definite big positives you can look at toward next year's team.
I want to join the positive party, Andy. Ty Block, as you know, in a year where obviously there's plenty of negativity around the club, Ty Block has actually been I think you could definitely consider him a pleasant surprise. He'll be on the hill today, 105 first pitch. When Block's at his best, what do you see? And we know he's had success, particularly against the Dodgers.
Well, I see Kirk Reeder. I mean, you know, I see a guy who fields his position cleanly. He's a good athlete. He'll help himself in a lot of ways. And, you know, he's going to have days where if he's a hair off or maybe he's got an umpire who's not giving him calls, then he doesn't have a whole lot of margin for error. But, you know, he's a great guy to pitch in a day game after a night game when, you know, maybe the opponents are still waking up a little bit.
And, yeah.
Because, you know, he's going to pound the zone. He's going to be ready for you.
He's going to work fast.
Work quickly. Yeah, and you know the defense loves that. Okay. So, you know, I like him. I think that he's not a guy who's going to be a front-end rotation guy.
Right.
But, you know, he's going to be a guy who will give you a chance to win. And, yeah, probably every, you know, fifth or sixth start he might get his brains beat in because, you know, he's not getting calls or, you know, the line might be really ugly, you know, really give up like eight runs or something. But for the most part, he's going to keep you in games. And, you know, he's a guy, I think he and Samardzija have really been the guys most affected by the fact that the offense is not performing because they're guys who could win a lot of games if you stick them in Houston or with the
Washington
Yankees.
Or yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that I think that bodes well and they're going to need innings next year, whether it's, you know, whether Cueto opts out or you know, whether Moore isn't able to kind of get back on the beam, you know, every fifth day. They're going to need innings because they don't have a lot of starting pitching coming up in the pipeline. Tyler Beattie is interesting. Andrew Suarez is interesting, you know, but they don't really have the front line prospect. Beattie's as close to one as they have. Mm-hmm. So, you know, until that pipeline gets started up again, yeah, they definitely are going to need contributions from the Ty Blocks of the world.
Bags are great. Marty Lurie's in Cooperstown this weekend, and I just want you to get your take on, you know, Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Yvonne Rodriguez, even you can go Claire Smith or Bill King. I mean, you got this is a wide array of players that we all know, and I want to get your take on what this Hall of Fame class means to you.
Well, it's kind of an interesting class because I did vote for all three. I voted for seven last year. You know, I do vote for Barry Bonds. I do vote for Roger Clemens. Part of me is like, I do enjoy all the reminiscences about these players, particularly Tim Raines, because I voted for him every year that I've been able to vote. And it's been great to see him gain traction. It's great to see people kind of slowly filter into the yes column and recognize his greatness. I hope that they do the same with a guy like Edgar Martinez that I vote for, and his percentage has gone up. I've got a soft spot for guys who are pure hitters who win batting titles and at 350
especially right-handed, right? Yeah,
all those lefties get all the love with their sweet swings, but right-handed pure hitters, we love them.
But
you know, Bagwell was a guy that I had to think about a lot, and not because of any, you know, steroid suspicions, but because I guess when he was playing, I didn't think of him as a Hall of Famer. You know, there were so many other players putting up huge numbers in the era in which he played. I am glad to see that Pudge got in on the first ballot because there's obviously a lot of steroid suspicions there. But in my opinion, you know, whether you used or not, you know, I think we can't completely separate who did and who didn't.
Right.
And B, I just feel like I've given this explanation so many times, I think I can probably wrap it up quickly now. But for me, I just think that in that era, you know, baseball it's always been about getting an edge, and it's never been golf where it's a gentleman's game and you can be DQ'd for one little mistake,
right.
You know, one little rule change. You're trying to steal signs. You're trying to, you know, cork your bat. You're trying to get every edge you can, and I just think that the stuff that was available to players in that era was just worked so much exponentially better than any other form of cheating that came before that, you know, that's why it made a mockery of the record book, and that's why we're so up in arms about it because the numbers and the records are so hallowed, and so you know what, these guys were the best players of their era. they should be Hall of Famers regardless, and that's the way I look at it. And I'll tell you what, one guy I'm going to really bang the drum for coming up on next year's ballot is Omar Vizquel.
Yeah,
and I know
yes.
the Sabre crowd
yes.
does not like him at all, and we're going to die on some hills with Omar. It's going to get ugly because there are a lot of people who do not want Omar Vizquel in the Hall of Fame, but man, I haven't covered anybody who played the game with as much joy as Omar, and I can't wait to vote for him.
No, but the guys that are on it, like Chipper Jones, Vlad Guerrero, Trevor Hoffman, Omar, I mean, they should be there.
Right. A lot of guys worthy.
Jim Tomey, too, is going to be on the ballot as well next time.
Bags, I know you got to run. Just any news on the trade front right now? Are you hearing anything?
Not yet. I think the big news will be what the Dodgers do if they, you know, they've held on to their prospects for so long, and in most cases that's worked to their advantage. You know, they didn't go get Cole Hamels or David Price in past years, and lo and behold, they still have Corey Seager. I think that was pretty smart.
Right. That worked out.
So, you know, we'll see if they cross the bridge to get a Sonny Gray or a Yu Darvish or one of these guys. That could be huge to have another frontline starting pitcher.
They may have one in Walker Buehler, though.
Oh, my God. I've heard so many good things about
him. I've seen him. He's nasty.
Buehler. All right. That's sorry. Andy. Thanks, man.
I think that probably you're looking at minor deals, maybe moving Hundley somewhere. You know, maybe they find someone for Contos or Strickland. I don't see anything really dramatic happening, though.
All right. Andy, seriously, thanks for your time. As always, definitely must follow on Twitter at @extrabags. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon, Andy. Thanks again for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay, enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
All thanks,
right.
Andy.
Andy Baggerly @extrabags on Twitter. Guy knows his stuff. Yeah, Omar Vizquel. Bang that drum, baby.